Hallelujah. I'm excited about being here again. As I tell you all the time, but I look forward to being down here in the wilderness. And I thank God for the opportunity that has been given to me that I might come and preach the gospel, share a few good words of the Lord with you all, and then get right on out of the way. I'm going to try to do it this time and use the mic. Praise the Lord. I don't usually hold the mic in my hand. I generally have my book and my Bible and my notes in my hand as I preach the gospel. This morning, I'm going to try to use the microphone. Hallelujah. Is that all right? My wife says hello to everybody. I was texting her just a second ago and just telling her that you all have prayed for her. And simply, she just said hello to everybody. So amazing. It's funny. What's your name? Stephanie told me after I finished praying. She said, you remind me of a guy named Kenny Baldwin. Well, that happens to be my cousin. Praise God. So he's my cousin by marriage. That's my wife's first cousin at Crossroad Baptist Church. He's the senior pastor there. I'm the senior pastor of In His Glory Christian Ministries in Alexandria, Virginia. And so certainly I enjoy being down here. Kevin is hooking me up with another mic so I don't have to hold this in my hand. And certainly my good friend Arthur Lynch, who's down here, he says, I come to hear you preach the gospel. I said, thank you, praise God. Hopefully when I finish preaching, he will tell me what I need to do to invest in the rest of my life so that as I retire, I don't have to worry about anything else. And so, praise God. I'm going to get started in just a hot second. As you all know, each time I come down here, I have the camera set up. We're on Facebook Live, and the reason I do that is because two things. First and foremost, I usually will have an earpiece in because we have people who call in on our conference line every Sunday morning, people who call in on our conference line on Wednesday evenings. And so we have people who call in from about 8 or 9 different states, and then we also have people who check in on Facebook with me to see the services because they can't get down here or there are other things that are hindering them from getting down here. And so I put it on Facebook. And so I always catch Kevin singing, praise God, so I'm going to go and jump on this other mic. I always catch Kevin singing. He says, you got me on there singing again. I say, yep, sure I do. Because there's some other friends that we have that are co-workers as well that loves to hear him sing. And so I think that they should hear that wonderful voice that God has given him. Praise the Lord to give God glory. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, if you have a Bible available, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7 is where we're going to be this morning. A very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll give you a minute to turn there, but when you get there, say word, that I'll know that we all are there together. Hallelujah. I like that right there. Let her be loud. I like that. Forsake not the children. That's what the Lord says. Amen. To come. And so with that being the case, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, before we get into the word, and again, I won't be with you all long this morning, but simply just a little bit of background information. Timothy is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. Amen. And he's been left there by the apostle Paul to continue the good work that Paul has started. And so with that being the case, young Timothy, being somewhere between the ages, I guess, of 18 and 21, that's when we kind of figure where he is in his young life as he's pastoring. He's facing some difficulties as a young pastor. The first thing that he's faced with is that when you look up the history of Ephesus, you find that Ephesus was steeped in Greek mythology. Praise God. You know, when we see the Olympics, the Greek gods of Apollo, Thor, Zeus, the Greek goddess Diana, the goddess of beauty and all that. And so here he is trying to pastor a church among a culture that has been steeped in Greek mythology. Amen. And so he's fighting against a culture that does not believe in what he believes in, the unknown God. And so with that being the case, he has to now go in there and try to undo years and years and years of whatever has been passed down to them about who these Greek gods are and how they operate in their life. Second thing that he has to work through is people's individual esteem. Praise God. Why do I say that? Because when you look up Ephesus, what they had there, if I'm not mistaken, they had something like 100 bathhouses there, and they had all these gyms where people worked out at this particular time. Not the gyms that we know of today, praise God, but where they exercised. And so there was a lot of emphasis put on the external beauty versus the internal beauty of the heart, praise God. And so if you look through there, you'll see where Paul gives some instructions about not to make your adornment based upon your outward beauty, but your adornment should be on your what? Inward beauty. Praise God. Doesn't matter how you look on the outside. What matters the most is what's on the inside. Because what's on the inside is going to overshadow what's on the what? Outside. Amen. You can be the prettiest person in the world and have the worst attitude. Praise God. And nobody will think that you're a beautiful person. Amen. Or you may not be the most favorable looking person in the world externally, but your heart is so gorgeous that people think that you're the most beautiful person in the world. And that's what's most important, because God looks at our what? Our heart. He's not looking at our external beauty. God, and far be from me, I don't have external beauty anymore because I've lost the hair and everything else. And so, you know, with that being the case, I just try to make myself as beautiful as possible with my heart. Hallelujah. Come on, I know y'all are with me this morning. Amen. And so with that being the case, he's fighting through that. He's fighting through Greek mythology. He's fighting through the external beauty because people are putting more emphasis on going to the gyms and the women to the bathhouses and all that other stuff. And he's trying to get people to understand the word of God, but to understand that what's most important in your life is the relationship that you have with the Lord that's vertical and not the relationship that you have with people, which is horizontal. Because what's horizontal is going to eventually end. But what's vertical, you have a chance to spend eternity with God if you have that relationship right. Amen? And so he's trying to teach them, but he's gotten discouraged. And he's even become fearful. Because here's another thing he's fighting with. Older people don't like to hear nothing that younger people have to say, because there's nothing that younger people can tell older people because they've done it all. Amen. And who is this young whippersnapper coming in to tell us about life and how to live life, and you haven't even begun to experience life? But one thing I like about Elihu, if you ever read Job, one thing I like about Elihu, when Job was going through what he was going through and trying to find out why he was where he was, young Elihu says, I think in chapter 32, that he sat back and he let the wisdom, or that which was supposed to be the wisdom of all the elders, those other two men, speak to Job about why he was where he was. And eventually Elihu stood up and says, listen, no longer can I remain silent on all this. He said, I thought that wisdom came with age. But what I've come to find out is that wisdom comes with the Spirit of God. And so Elihu began to speak to Job about his present situation. So what do we know? There is a wisdom that comes with age. I'm not minimizing that. But there's no wisdom that comes better than the wisdom of God. Amen? And that wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit. So here we are in young Timothy. And Paul is writing him a letter to encourage him. And he's saying to him, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. In other words, God has not given us a spirit that is distressing, which is not just give you a fear. A spirit is a distressing emotion arise by impending danger, evil, or pain, whether that threat is real or not. God didn't give us that spirit that we should be aroused, that we should be concerned, or that we should wonder how we're going to get through the time that we're facing with right now, whether it's real or not. God doesn't give us that spirit. God gives us a spirit, again, of power, love, and of a sound mind. And what's so interesting enough that when we're dealing with fear, we're dealing with fear because there are three impending dangers that we really have to deal with on a daily basis. That of outside folks, that of the devil, but probably the worst fear that we have to deal with of all is the one that is self-imposed. Because a lot of times we'll put ourselves in a position to start wondering and becoming distressed or burdened by things that we imagine within our own what? Minds. And what brought me to this scripture this morning? What brought me to this scripture this morning was the other day I was coming into the house and I saw a letter from Kaiser Permanente. Now, I know I hadn't been to Kaiser, so the letter wasn't pertaining to me as far as my health was concerned, but it was addressed to me, so I had to be dealing with what? Money. And I just didn't want to see anything dealing with what? Money. I get tired of paying bills. How many of you get tired of paying bills? I know I get tired of paying all kinds of just frivolous bills. I know some things I've created on myself, but I know other times that I'm going to pay for some things that's astronomical that don't need to be, well, in my mind anyway, they need to be that high of a bill. And so I looked at it and it changed the course of my entire what? Day. Isn't that amazing? How when we're faced with things that we don't like, or things that we are having to face on a daily basis that makes us uncomfortable, it ruins our entire what? Day. The Lord says, listen, these are strongholds.
These are things that get our minds captured. These are things that hold us. It's like hearing something in the morning and it has you through the afternoon, all the way through the evening, and you wake up the next morning and it's still on your what?
Mind.
Because you have a fear or you have some type of unwanting feeling about whatever it is that you're dealing with, or you're uncomfortable about it, and it has you held captive, and that's not God's best for our lives. And so with that, you know, one of the greatest things I said before, one of the greatest things that holds us back the most is the one that we place on our what? Selves. And so I walked past it, I looked at it, and I kept going. I tried to get it off my mind, and then I came back across it. I looked at it again. I said, I'm not going to open that. And I let it for a couple of days. And when I came back, the letter was still sitting where it last was left, waiting for me to open it. And I just did not want to open this letter because I didn't want to have to deal with whatever it is that it was telling me that I was going to have to deal with. So finally, on yesterday, that letter has been sitting on that Passover bar in my townhouse for probably about 5 or 6 days now. And so finally, I went past. And I opened it up. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Sometimes that self-imposed emotional stress that we go through, or distressing feelings, a lot of times are not more than what they appear to be. But because we've experienced things so bad in our lives, and we've had such awful experiences, the minute we see something that remotely look like what it is that we've been through in our past, one thing we won't do is we won't deal with a lot of the situations. There's some people that just don't care. But me, I'm one of these people like, Lord, why me? Or Lord, why do I have to go through this next? Or Lord, how many times do I have to experience this? Or when will I get a what? Break. Did anybody ever ask that question? Lord, when will I get a what? Break. And the Lord gives us a break each and every day. No different than when he's just saying that the Lord will walk us through the fire again. Amen. Because God is with us each and every what? Day. And so here it is. I finally tore the letter open. And lo and behold, what it was, my fear came to pass. It was a bill. And I'm sitting here scratching my head like, Lord, I just got out of one bill with these folks. Why am I faced with another bill? But I got to tell y'all something. Thank God for that bill. And the reason why I say thank God for that bill, because that bill was pertaining to my wife's surgery. And as a result of that surgery, my wife is healthy again, and now she's recovering. And so I had to renew my mind and think about some things. What's more important, or what should be greater to me, my wife's health or that bill? And so my wife's health is greater to me, more valuable to me than that simple little bill. And thank God for insurance, because the bill is nowhere where it once could have what? Been. And I know at one particular time in my life, when I had left the sheriff department, my wife and I were out doing ministry, and I didn't know my wife was going to be diagnosed some year later after I had left the sheriff department with pancreatic cancer. I did not know that. And so with that being the case, I'm out here doing my thing, and I'm trying to maintain my insurance payments, and they're high, and they're getting close to running out, and all of a sudden I get off my job back 6 or 7 times, and I'm like, I don't want to go back to the sheriff department. I don't want to go back. I want to continue to do what I'm doing here, Lord. But yet I realize that there's a impending danger before me that I might lose my insurance because the money is low. Not that God won't provide, because God will provide, but how do I not know that God is providing this as a means to an end? Praise God. And so I eventually accepted my job back. 2 months later, my wife's diagnosed with, a year later, my wife's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And you know, all I ended up spending out of my pocket was $150 out of a $99,000 surgery. Isn't God good? And that's enough to shout about, isn't it? Because I could be faced with a $99,000 bill or a $150 bill. Three $50 co-payments for, MRI, and CAT scan, and one other thing. I'll take that bill and they send me all the bills you want, Kaiser Permanente. Versus that bill of $99,000 that would have come from Fairfax County. Inova Hospital. I'm sorry, it wasn't Inova. That was the Washington, was it the Washington Hospital Center? I don't know, I don't really care. The surgery is what? Over. And with that being the case, God is what? Good. And so he didn't give us a spirit of what? Fear. That's right. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of what? Power. And what is power? The ability to what? Do or make something what? Happen. God expects you and I to do some things and make some things what? Happen. You may not know exactly what that might be, but what you should know is that whatever it is that God has given you the ability to do, you should do it with joy in your heart and a praise upon your lips and excitement in who you are and knowing that God is always what? With us. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed what? Begging bread. God never leaves us by ourselves. Sometimes we might feel like we're in our darkest hours, but God is still what? With us. Sometimes we may not see how things are going to work out, but God is always what? Walking us through the storms. Sometimes we may not have the answers to all the questions in the world, but by faith, we know that God is going to make everything what? All right. And so that's why I'm excited. That's why I come to the wilderness. That's why I go to church on Sunday. That's why I try to be the best example that I can be to all people, because God is what?
Good.
All the time. And all the time, God is what?
Good.
Amen. And so with that being the case, I try to make sure I live the best life I what?
Can.
And I live it with power. Why? Because John 14:12 says this. If you believe in me and the things in which I do, ye also will do what?
Even greater things than these.
Why? Because I go unto my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done, because the Father loves who?
You.
God loves who?
You.
And so if you believe in God, Jesus has given us authority to use his name in any given situation that we're in and to see our situations change. And if not our situation, then somebody else. God didn't only give you power for you. He's giving you power for who? Other people. No different than when Kevin sits up here and he asks for requests spoken and those that what?
Not spoken.
Because God can hear that which comes out of our mouths audibly, and he can hear the thoughts of our hearts. And so whether we speak it or whether we just are entertaining it in our hearts, God is always what?
Listening.
And so that prayer is of power. It's of authority. It's the thing that joins us together with God wherever the breaks are in our lives, so that whatever it is that you and I have need of, we can what?
Have.
God doesn't mind letting you have things, because he knows that when you have it, you're going to glorify him. And when you glorify him, people are going to see your good works and give glory to who?
God.
People will come to you and say, how did you do it? How did you overcome your situations? How did things work out for you? And you can simply say, by the glory of God. His grace and his mercy is sufficient for me. In my weakness, his power is made what?
Perfect.
And so therefore, even though I might be falling short, God is working it out. Even in Matthew 19:26, he says this. He says, what's not possible to man is possible to who?
God.
And that's in everything that we do. Everything that we need. So when our ability stops, God's ability keeps moving forward. So when we feel that we can't go any further, God is making ways of it. He's pushing back all those things that hold us back. And that's why Paul says, I press towards the mark of the upward call of God, which is in who?
Christ Jesus.
And that's what you and I need to do. We need to keep on what?
Pressing.
Don't let fear stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Jesus was teaching in Luke 17:1-6, and he was talking about forgiving your brother when they have offended you. And the disciples knew this was a very difficult thing. And so at the end of the teaching, around verse 5 or 6, the disciple says, Lord, increase our faith. Teach us that we're able to do this thing. That we can learn to be. Look how hard it is just to learn to forgive somebody. And the disciples are saying, Lord, increase our what?
Faith.
That we're able to what?
Do this.
Because faith is attached to actions. Not just in word or thought. Faith is in action. They said, help us do this. The Lord says, a faith the size of a what?
Mustard seed.
Will tell the mulberry. He says, you'll tell the mulberry tree to be plucked up by its roots and cast into the sea. And it shall what?
Obey you.
Here a tree shall take legs and walk from its plant position because of what you do by faith. If a tree can do that, how much more shall you and I be able to do if we trust who?
God.
So that we don't have to what?
Fear
in life. And so God has given us power, but he's also given us love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. That's what it tells us over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. That perfect love cast out all fear. And so he says he's not only given us a spirit of power, but a spirit of what? Love. And we have to learn how to what? Love one another. When you read that whole chapter 4 of 1 John, it talks about the love of God. How do we say we love a God who we've never seen, but yet we can't stand one another? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? A God we've never seen. A God we've never physically touched, but we've been touched by Him, who's given us the means by which we should operate and live every day. He has told us how can we love Him, but yet we don't love who? One another. That's why it's so important at the beginning of this service when they say, get up out of your seats and go touch somebody. Go hug somebody. Go tell somebody you love them and introduce yourself to them. Let them know that you're here to fight with them. That's what we do when we gather here in church. We gather here not because of the building. We gather here because of one another. And we let each other know how good God truly is in our life. And we embrace one another so we can feel the Spirit of God as we're worshiping Him, the goodness. Because sometimes when we walk out of here and we walk into the grocery stores or we're at the gas station or somebody's trying to get in front of us on the highways and the byways of life, we don't always feel that good life, do we? We'll feel somebody right up on the side of us and give us that salute, won't they? Well, they'll try to give us a piece of their mind, won't they? And how many of us, I always say it, how many of us, when we're riding down the street and we let somebody cut in front of us and they don't give us a wave, we get upset? And then we're driving talking about, I shouldn't have let you in. I shouldn't have let you in. And we're driving up the street and we put up on the side of them and we want to give them that evil look for just about 5 seconds and drive off. Man, you could have said thank you. But why did you do it if you didn't do it out of what?
Love.
Whether they thank you or not is not important. What's important is what you what did. And my famous one, I always talk about when you go to the store and you open up the door, those doors are not automatic yet, and you open up the door and you let somebody proceed in the front of you, and they don't say thank you, now your whole shopping experience is messed up. You just went to the store to get some cabbage. And now, because the person who you let go in front of you didn't say thank you, man, your whole cabbage experience is messed up. Pull it all off on the leader's desk. I don't know why the store had this dead stuff on itself. I mean, just everything is just messed up because we've given away the power that God has what? Given us. And love is not permeating through our heart because we believe and have been taught when we do for somebody, they should say thank you to us. We don't know what they're going through. They could be just in the midst of a struggle. Yesterday, I was on my way to Cecil County. I'm very close. But I was on my way to Cecil County, Maryland, which is about 7 miles before Delaware, right off of 95. That's where my daughter attends school, and my son will be attending school this year as well. And so as we were leaving out, we hadn't even gotten 10 miles past Woodbridge, north of Woodbridge. And my daughter looks at me and says, Dad, I think we need coffee. And I said, I think you're right. So we was going through Alexandria, and I said, I'm going to pull off at the 7-Eleven over here. And she says, okay, Dad. I said, we're going to get some coffee. She said, let's get some coffee. So we run into 7-Eleven real quick. That's my favorite coffee place, you all. And so I grab my coffee. I don't want to start no wars in here about who likes Wawa better than 7-Eleven and all these. Every time I say something about 7-Eleven, somebody says, well, you should see Sheetz. And I'm like, well, anyway. But anyway, what's that? Yeah. So I'm sitting there in line. I'm getting coffee. And this lady makes this interesting sound, which is strange and unusual to me. And so I look at her strange, and my daughter looks at me. I said, I don't know what that's all about, babe. I said, but just be mindful. And she says, okay, Dad. And so we get the coffee, and we're going up to the counter, and we put the coffee on the counter, and the lady bumps me. She doesn't say excuse me. She doesn't say anything. And she steps right in front of me. And my daughter stands back, and she looks at me. And I look at my daughter. I said, how should I handle this situation? Not being mindful of the fact that there's something going on in her life, I'm just concerned about whose life? Mine. That you bumped me, you didn't have the audacity to say, excuse me, and then you jumped in front of me in line, but the lady had a mental disability. But because I wasn't really in tune with her initially when she bumped me, I was ready to what? Fight. And it may not necessarily have been a fist fight, but I was ready to give her a piece of my what? Mind. And I got to tell you all, for me, I don't have much mind what? Left. Seem like I'm just trying to hold on and remember the smaller things in life, and here I want to give some more of what God has given me away. And so, with that being the case, I had to stand and just thank God. And ultimately, we have to learn how to pray in those situations so that we don't get out of sorts. Because not only has God given us power, not only has he given us love, but he's also given us a sound mind. And I'm going to tell you something. When fear racks us the best is when our mind is not what? Sound. I keep my church laughing at the fact that when I was growing up, I loved all the Friday the 13th. I loved all the Halloween movies. I loved all those things. Jason and Freddy running through the woods. I got to tell you right now, though, at the age I am now, had I seen one of those movies, I would not be out in Camp Rams. Not at the lake sitting down there or over there. Nah, won't be in the campground at night. Not with Jason running around with that long machete. Or Michael Myers. But that's just a movie. But look at how it gets into our spirit and have us, the minute you're sitting there and something appears moving, you look like this and say, wait a minute. And all your fears are heightened. But God didn't give us a spirit of what? Fear. I was walking my German Shepherd one morning, and there was this house. Oh, my gosh. It was this house that nobody had been living in for a long time. Nice community, but nobody lived in the house for a long time. Just been vacant. And there's no window coverings or dressings whatsoever. It's just open windows. And so one morning about 3 a.m., dog made a German Shepherd. Had to go out for a walk, and we're walking. And we get right by the house, and the shepherd stops. I said, come on. And her name was Kayla. I said, come on, Kayla. And she wouldn't move. Come on, Kayla. And I looked across the street, and there was a house that nobody had lived in forever today. And all of a sudden, what was in my mind? What's going on in that place right there? It's demon possessed. And my German Shepherd was big. And she dropped down into this little, I'm not moving mode. And I'm running across the street from this house. But because I watched so many bad movies that night, with the dark houses, fear was all over me. And so when I turned this way, Kayla was more than happy to go back home, but she wouldn't proceed past that house. I don't know if it was my imagination. I don't know if it was all those bad movies I watched. Whatever it was, but I was in what? Fear. And God didn't give me a spirit of what? Fear. Because truly I should have walked past that in the name of Jesus. Whatever's happening in that house, it has nothing to do with me. And I'm supposed to be the one in authority, and I'm following the lead of my dog. My dog stopped, I stopped. Maybe she knows something that I just don't. But whatever it is that she sends me, I'm going to follow her senses. But God's supposed to have given me good what? Senses. But my good senses are not working in comparison to the dog senses, so I'm going to go with the dog. But we're supposed to be in authority in the earth. And so we have to learn to be better at what God has done for us. And so with that, you all, he's given us a sound mind. He tells us as I close over Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your most reasonable service. Be not conformed to the ways of this world. I was conformed to the what? The world. But be ye what? Transformed. By the renewing of your what? Mind. That you might prove that which is good and perfect and acceptable will of who? God. But I wasn't proving anything except for that I was afraid. Here I'm 6'2", 200 some pounds, and I'm worried about a house that nobody's lived in for a long time. An inanimate object. And my dog stopping right there. I can promise you, I didn't walk that street at that time of morning again for a long time until I got myself together and began to cast out all fears and told the Lord, you know what, I have to renew my mind. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Who did not consider himself equal to God, or who was equal to God, but did not consider his lost train of thought. That's what happens when you start thinking about all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, he humbled himself. And that's what we have to learn to do. Humble ourselves to the perfect will of who? God. God expects us to do that each and every day. We have to learn how to humble, which means to restrain ourselves from self and open ourselves to His will. And watch what God do in through each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Because God is what?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to my brother at this particular time. I thank y'all for having me with you this morning. But listen, God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a what? Sound mind. Now, for you all who are staying here this evening, don't go by the tree this night. I'm just kidding.
Stay away from the lake.
Stay away from the lake. Amen.